you so much. Acts chapter 9, this is a beautiful chapter. It's where the Apostle Paul was called into the ministry, called to be saved, called into the ministry. And we can learn a lot from God's call upon Paul's life. So we're going to look at the first 22 verses of Acts chapter 9. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Why, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire into the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So our title this morning is, What Thou Must Do. What Thou Must Do. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of being here. We ask that you now open and illuminate the word to our hearts through the Holy Spirit and change us through its power. I pray that everyone here would push aside any distractions and focus on hearing from you in these next few minutes and allowing you to change us, to speak to us, to convict us, to comfort us, whatever the need might be. And I pray that we would be here to lift you up and glorify you, and that you would be pleased with our time. We give this service to you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a blessing to see the conversion of Saul, who became the great Apostle Paul, planted churches all around, well, all around the world ultimately. But you and I wouldn't be here this morning in a practical sense, if it wasn't for this man who was willing to go to the Gentiles and reach Gentiles, preach to Gentiles, see them saved, see Gentile churches planted. All the other disciples just wanted to speak to Jews and stay in Jerusalem, stay in Antioch, but not Paul. And here we see God choosing him and calling him to specifically fulfill this very special mission. But what we find in this is God also saying to him, Paul, this is my plan for your life. And the plan isn't complicated, but it is difficult. And God wants the same for you and for I. And I think we can learn a lot from God's mission to Paul, that he wants the same from us. But first, Just comes the question in verse 6, and this is a question that many Christians are afraid to ask of the Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Can we really ask, can we really pray that question in our prayer time and mean it? And admitting that, Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I am willing to do. Honestly, many Christians are not willing to pray that prayer because they're afraid, if you will, of what God might call them to do. Well, should we be afraid of God? Should we be afraid of what God might call us to do? No. But it's fear that stops many Christians from saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? But here we have a man stricken down on the Damascus Road, a very fervent Jew, willing to kill Christians in the name of God. And his first question is, Lord, what do you want from me? What will you have me to do? We need to pray that prayer and mean it. The Bible says we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. In Ephesians 6, we're called the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We're to be his servants. He's to be the master. He's to be the Lord of our lives. But are we willing to say, like Saul, what will thou have me to do? And I love God's answer. And you know, when we ask this question of God, he's not going to give us a list. He's going to give us one step at a time. Now, a lot of people think, oh, God's going to, if I pray that question, God will say, I want you to go to Nigeria. Well, we just heard about Nigeria. It's a dangerous place for Christians. But there's no safer place than the center of God's will. And if we're afraid of something like that, then it means that we don't believe that God can protect us or that God can use us. But he didn't say, here's my long list of things. Paul, go to the city. First instruction. I want you to go into the city. And you know, when a person first gets saved, we don't say, okay, now in a year, I want you to go to Nigeria. Do we? No. We just keep it simple, one step at a time. You need to start reading your Bible. You need to start praying. You need to go to church. Start witnessing for Jesus Christ. The basic steps. First thing, Paul, go into the city. That's what I want you to do. And verse 6, and it'll be told thee what thou must do. God gives us directions one step at a time. Think about it. When he called Moses, it was one step at a time. It wasn't right at the beginning, okay, Moses, you're going to be the leader of 3 million rebels. They're going to give you such a hard time you can't believe it. No. He found him in the desert and he said, I need you to go back to Egypt and I need you to talk to Pharaoh. David, the same thing. One step at a time. He didn't come to David the first time and say, you're eventually going to be the king of Israel. No, he said, I want you to do one thing at a time. And this is what we need to be willing to do, is say, Lord, whatever. And so then we have Ananias, verse 10. God came to him and said, Ananias said, behold, I'm here, Lord. In other words, I'm available to do whatever you want. Which sounds good, but he said, by the way, except have anything to do with that guy named Saul. Because he's bad news from what I hear. But if you look verses 12 to 14, he gave all the reasons why he shouldn't obey God's command, right? Lord, I've seen it. This man has done much evil, verse 13, and he has all this authority from the priest to bind all the column. Lord, really? I mean, you want me to touch this guy? You want me to have anything to do with this guy's soul? And again, what will thou have me to do? And Paul, of course, he's praying. He's asking God to receive sight. And then we get into really the heart of the message. which starts in verse 15, and that is, here's the plan, Saul. And this is the same plan for every person that's ever trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Number one, verse 15, bear my name. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. My friend, if you're a born-again Christian, you're here to bear his name. That's what it means to be a disciple, is you are bearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've taken on a new name, and that name is Christian. Amen? A Christ follower. You've now made Jesus Lord of your life. You are now a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 15, where Jesus refers to us as disciples. And that means a follower of Jesus. John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever she asks of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Jesus chose us to be his disciples. Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We are here to bear in the name of Jesus Christ. We're commanded, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may, what? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are here to bear the name of Jesus Christ to the world. But to not be ashamed of Christ, but to be one that bears the name, disciple, Christian of Jesus. We're here to bear his name. And that's the first part of Paul's mission and the first part of all mission. The second one, verse 16, you're not going to like it very much. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Hold on, you're telling me that if I become a Christian, I might suffer? No, I'm telling you, if you become a Christian, you will suffer. That's a guarantee. And a lot of churches are preaching that this isn't the case, but they're preaching a false gospel. If you choose to become a Christian, the battle begins, it doesn't end. The battle with the flesh, the battle with the devil, the battle with the world. And you will suffer. Now, this suffering is God's will. Notice he says, he must suffer for my name's sake. This is God's plan for all Christians. Go to Acts 14:22 and we'll see this. Acts 14:22. This is when, again, they were encouraging some disciples of the Lord. And it says, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Through much tribulation. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. In Philippians, Paul said, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, not all of us will suffer as much as Paul suffered. Praise God. Because Paul suffered. Go to 2 Corinthians 11, where he summarizes it for us. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And Paul's not giving us this account to boast. He's just being straight up with us and saying, God called me to suffer, and I've suffered. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. What a list. Did Paul suffer? Yes. Is Paul in heaven right now saying, I wish I hadn't suffered? Nope. Is he regretting it? No. It was all worth it for the cause of Christ. You're going to suffer. But suffering is God's plan for us. This is how he grows us. It's how he refines us. It's how he teaches us. It's how he conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ. We're going to suffer. So we might as well learn that when it comes, rather than get frustrated or angry, to say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? May I learn it? But part of our mission is not only to bear the name of Jesus Christ, to say, I am a Christian, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to bear his name, but to suffer for his name's sake. And we all will. But what does James say? Count it all joy. James 1, 2, when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. It's good for us. Well, let's see the third part of Paul's mission in verse 17 of Acts, chapter 9. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is big. We cannot be the servants that God wants us to be unless we're willing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What does that mean to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, if you look through this book of Acts, for example, every time they were filled, you know what they did? They preached. They spoke the name of Jesus. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. God doesn't just give out his power so we can show off his power. No, he gives it out for a purpose. And that is so that we can serve him. In Ephesians 5:18, if you want to turn there, this is not an option or a suggestion. This is a command for Christians. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We talked about this Sunday night, that word yield in Romans chapter 6. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means to be controlled. It means to be led. And by the way, you can't be filled with something unless you're first emptied of everything else, like self and sin. And this is what God wants from all of us. He wants us to bear the name of Jesus Christ. We are going to suffer for his sake, but we're going to get to heaven and say, thank you, Lord. And he wants us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He gave us the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, at salvation. He promised it, and now he gives it. But God has a purpose in everything that he does. And we're not to be filled with the Holy Ghost for any other purpose than that we might please him in return. And let him run our lives as we yield to him. And so Paul, verse 18 of our passage, he was baptized, as we see here, which is the first step of obedience for all new Christians, is they should get baptized. Not to be saved, but because they are saved and they're not ashamed of Jesus, and it's a public way of declaring, I'm a Christian now, and I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and I'm willing to associate myself with his death and his burial and his resurrection. So all Christians should get baptized. But as he says, I want you to bear my name, I want you to suffer, I want you to be filled. But then verse 20, straightway. I love that word. Paul didn't say, well, I need to go to classes first. No, it says straightway he what? Preached Christ. He didn't wait around. He's got the Holy Spirit now, and he didn't hesitate. He said, I must preach Christ. And by the way, right before Jesus went back to heaven, what did he tell you and me to do? Mark chapter 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those were his marching orders for all of us, is that we preach Christ. If you go to Acts 8:35, we'll see it again. If Philip opened his mouth. This was one of the deacons of the early church. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. This is Philip speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch. And then in 1 Corinthians 1, if you want to turn there, verse 23, Paul makes it clear, this isn't just something that some people should do. This is something that every Christian should do. 1 Peter 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. Not everybody's going to get saved when we preach Christ, but that's between them and God. We still have to preach Christ. And then we get a little bit of direction here from Paul. What are we to focus on? Well, first of all, in verse 20, that he is the Son of God. In Acts 9:20. In other words, the person of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? When we share the gospel with the lost people, we must make sure that we explain the person of Christ. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we deserve to go to hell. But when we talk about Christ paying for our sins, who was he? He was God. God became a man, as we're told all through the New Testament. And Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, in John 8:24, you shall die in your sins. To be saved, you must believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, willing to pay the price for our sin. And so he preached not only the person of Christ, but then in verse 22, the Bible says he increased more in strength, confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So he not only preached the person of Christ, but the purpose. Why did Jesus come? And for the Jews, of course, he came as their Messiah. But for you and me, he came what? To seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. Jesus came with a purpose. And that purpose was to die for us. People need to know this great truth, that Jesus Christ came for us. And so Paul's mission, though it was filled with much suffering, was also filled with amazing blessings. And again, we're all sitting here this morning as it's been passed down from those Gentile churches for 2,000 years. It was Paul that said, I am going to the Gentiles. And you know, you think about heaven, and since we have infinite time, we'll take the time to thank the person that led us to Christ. Amen. But I wonder, you know, when it comes time to thank people, I wonder how long the line will be to thank Paul. How many millions of people are going to want to say thank you? Thank you for being willing to step out of the box and go to the Gentiles. And I'm here because of that. But it's okay. I don't think time means anything in heaven. So all millions of us can thank Paul. But Paul's mission, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why are you striking me blind here on this road? What is it you have for me? What wilt thou have me to do? He says, this is what you must do, Paul. And this is what we all must do. Number one, I want you to bear my name. I want you to take on my name. I want you to become a Christian. I want you to become one of my disciples. I want you to bear my name. Number two, Paul, I'll tell you in advance, I want you to suffer for my name's sake. And God says the same to us. We are going to suffer, but the suffering is all part of his plan. It's all part of what he's doing in our lives to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. It's for our good. Number three, Paul, I want you to be filled. I'm giving you the Holy Ghost, but I want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that you can preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, what did he do? He preached Christ. And that's why we're here. We're here to preach Christ. About the person and the purpose. Why did Jesus come and who is he? That's really what the gospel's about, isn't it? Why did he come? He came because we're wicked sinners and we deserve to go to hell. He came to be that substitute. But who is he? He's God in the flesh. Our own Creator willing to become a man that he might die on our behalf and then conquer death. that we might have eternal life. Hallelujah. What thou must do. Again, these are not options, these are commands. We are commanded to bear his name. We're commanded to suffer for his sake. We are commanded to take the gospel to the lost wherever we can. And we're commanded to do all of that in the power and through the filling of the Holy Ghost of God who indwells each one of us. Hallelujah. What thou must do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for reminding us this great mission that you've assigned to your children. I pray, Lord, we'll take it seriously and realize that when the suffering does come, it was part of your plan. And Lord, you're just refining us that we might be more effective servants. And I pray that we would bear your name and therefore act like a Christian. And Lord, behave as a Christian should behave, that we might be effective in preaching Jesus Christ through the power and the filling of the Holy Ghost until you come. So thank you for reminding us of our mission. I pray we'll take it seriously. We are truly blessed to be your children, Lord. If there's someone here in the service not sure they're born again, I pray they'll realize Jesus said very clearly, you must be born again, that they must repent and trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray that they'll be willing to do that today and get that settled. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.